Hello, everyone. Welcome to the March 28, 2018 Tony Sink call. We jump right in to looking at some pull requests that are open. I see we have a few opened recently by Dippin. I haven't had a chance to look at this yet, but let's jump into these a little bit. Let's look at 2610. There's a change in the socket options used on Mac OS. It raises the question for me of whether we are trying to target more than one Mac OS version at once. I don't know what the latest version of Mac OS is. He's saying this is as of Mountain Lion. Is that fairly old?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so if Mountain Lion is fairly old, I think that should be safe to merge. So does anybody have any objections to me merging this?
Sounds good to me.
Moving forward. Mm-hmm. I did not include a change log entry because it doesn't seem like this has a user-facing change. Moving on to 2611 now. Socket operations. This seems like it is making it more resilient to certain platforms. I think I'm in favor of merging this unless anyone else has a reason not to implement the change log fix on it. This might fix some platforms. Merging that one as well. Moving on to 2612. Prior to this commit, it was possible for the ASIO thread stopped in anticipation of runtime termination when runtime termination didn't actually occur. It would leave the runtime in an invalid state where a new ASIO thread would be started. This commit changes the behavior to ensure the ASIO thread is only stopped when the runtime is about to be terminated to ensure the runtime cannot be invalid. All right, adds a new internal function component as the stoppable, which is implemented. Not seeing where that is. There it is in the first file. So we keep the atomic load explicit. So that seems the same. Looks like we start dealing with threads when they're stoppable instead of when it at when you think it's stopped. This seems good to me. Does anybody have any reasons why we shouldn't merge it?
That's good for me.
Sorry, was that your volume kind of quiet, Benoit? Did you say you needed more time to look at it?
No, I think it's good for me.
Okay. I'll put the change log fix label on this one as well. Okay. And there you are. Taking a look at 2590. It looks like we did discuss this on the last sync call. Gordon left a comment that the contributor responded to about 4 days ago. And I think it was a fix for a Windows issue on the Windows CI. So do you think we should be good to merge this now that it's passing CI? Does anybody have any problems with doing that? In that case, I'll take off the need discussion and go ahead and merge. Other than that, I don't really see a significant number of active pull requests, unless somebody else has a pull request they want to talk about. Let's move on to issues. So, okay, 2613 is what I think we should take a look at. Matthias was trying to run a code from a repo that I've been working on, and he ran into what seems to be an issue with the pointer alloc, the pointer update call getting skipped. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah. So the conditions in which this happens are pretty strange. So I was not able to reproduce the issue with some string literal that I put in the code or something, or however I created the string within the code, I was not able to reproduce. So it somehow had to be a string that came in from the command line. I'm puzzled. If you look at the LLDB session below. Maybe there's some optimization going on regardless of debug or release mode that makes the alloc fail or the update fail. So there's whenever there is when I have a succeeding example where the issue is not happening, I get a proper zeroed pointer. But sometimes it's not the case, and I get some memory garbage. So, yeah, I looked at the implementation of alloc, but it was all magic to me.
So yeah, so this prior session, or sorry, this LLDB session does show
it shows the issue. So it shows that pointer update failing to null terminate the string.
Did you happen to check what the value of size was in that session?
What the value of size? It was proper, like it was 4, and alloc was also 4, and so I think it's, so it was, that was like the size of the 9999, everything normal.
Oh, I think I see what's going on. This should be, instead of updating at size +1, it's supposed to update at size. Because if size is 4, you want to make the 5th byte a 0 byte and in a 0 indexed that's at index 4. So this is just an off by 1 error.
But it should be fair, like much, like it should be reproducible, like in every situation. And if you look at the string, like at the bottom of the session, there we have the updated pointer, mm-hmm. and it doesn't show a 0 anywhere.
Well, I think it doesn't show the 0 because it, if you look the right before the pointer update, it has. It ends with a 7F byte, and then after the pointer update, that I think that 7F byte was what was overwritten with the 0 byte.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why it's not reproducible every time is that this is only a problem in cases where that byte, the garbage byte after the string, is only reproducible in cases where that garbage byte happens to be something other than 0. And I think in a lot of cases, especially when running simple programs, that memory will not have been used yet, and it may just happen to be 0 already.
Oh, God, yeah. Okay, then the fix is kind of trivial.
Yeah, I think so. I think we just need to change that size. On the update call, the alloc call needs to stay at size plus 1.
Let's.
And the update call needs to just be size instead of size plus 1. I'm glad this turned out to be a mundane issue rather than a serious like LLVM optimization thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Were you typing up a
yes.
comment?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Well, cool. Let's see, 2601. We want to wait for either Paul or Sylvan to be present. Take a look at 2609. Looks like looks like this is something that Benoit already commented on. Gave an area to code base to look in. There may not be much to discuss on that one right now. Uh, 2614, it looks like Matthias has already kind of given some insight to the person who filed the issue. So maybe not much to discuss there. 2614, this is a little bit early for this part of the call, but we seem to have worked through a lot of the stuff that's happened in the last week. Does anybody have anything in particular they would like to discuss here on the call? Yeah, so in that case, were you going to say something, Matthias?
Sorry, there's just one pull request that's ready for kind of review. It's 2603.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I asked for a test to be added, and you added it, and I haven't looked at it yet. So, cool. So, I have a test now, and I think we're ready to go.
Cool.
Let's see. What's a better description for this? Fix compiler crash. in array inference, maybe?
Yeah.
Fixed change log label. Oh, it's already got that. And here we go. Great. So if nobody else has anything, I have one topic I've been thinking about recently. There was a ticket a while back where we were talking about artificial limitations around what can be used in a recover block, and that the compiler enforces some constraints that are more than what is required for safety. And Paul suggested a sort of a different approach to take for checking capabilities with regard to recover blocks. Seeing if I can find the issue here. So I can reference it here in the call if anyone wants to look. So this was on pull requests 2043. We ended up not merging the pull request because there was a different approach to take, but there's some really good discussion here, some great thoughts from Paul about a different system for checking the for basically allowing more safe cases of code, basically where every reference, in addition to having the type system type and also the reference capability, it would also have attached to the reference capability an isolated region reference, such that you can check, basically treating recover blocks as separate isolated regions, the separate like origin, as he was calling it in his first comment. Using this to basically allow the compiler to enforce that you can have a ref and a ref in the same scope, and accessible from the same scope, without letting them touch, so to speak. Basically a way to mark that this is a ref from isolated region 0, and this is a ref from isolated region 1, and say that you can't assign from one to another, and basically, they cannot interact. It's as if they are both ISOs with respect to each other. This is something that I've been thinking a lot about because I've been working on a CRDT library in which it uses the delta state approach for CRDTs, where you have you have your data structure that gets mutated, and then you can also pass in a delta representing data structure, and the delta representing data structure will also get mutated. But you want that delta to be recoverable so that it is sendable later. So you want to prove that you have this function on this data structure where you're mutating the origin, you're mutating this reference of the data structure, and you're also mutating this argument that gets passed in, but you're not you're not letting them get intermingled with each other. They stay isolated from each other. which you can do sort of with ISO, if you make the argument in ISO instead of a ref, and then return it when you're done. But this gets into trouble when you need to do things like composition. When you have nested data structures, this means that they all have to, each level of the nest needs to be ISO as well, and then you need to like a destructive read on the field representing the nested data structure basically pull it out and then stick it back in at the end of the function call. And it ends up being awkward and even causing extra memory allocations at runtime to create something to put in place of that thing that you did the destructive read on. So it, like, not only is it cumbersome in the language to get around, but it's also a performance issue. Like it's poorly optimized because you have to allocate memory to do this destructive read, or you have to do, you know, some indirection with interfaces, but that also has kind of a runtime cost. So anyway, I think that this idea that Paul put forward has become more relevant to me, and I would like to start kind of exploring it together and figure out what this might look like as a feature. There's a Paul has a second comment in that thread where he specifically says that you can, like, basically a way to mark these isolated regions as being part of the type signature for the function and the parameters. And I think that's something that he followed it up with saying this looks a lot like Rust and Cyclone's concept of lifetime and regions, and it's probably overly complicated. However, Sylvan's idea of no capture can be seen as a simpler version of this. A no capture argument can come from a distinct region than other arguments. This removes a constraint on the caller to make all arguments origin equal, requiring instead that all non-sendable, non-no capture arguments have the same origin. On the other hand, it means the callee can only write values from a wildcard origin into the object and cannot alias it, capture it. So this, I think this no capture idea would probably work for my use case because, as I said, I have a mutable, I have a fun ref that needs to take a mutable argument that is seen as isolated. So it would kind of be seen as this like no capture sort of thing. I'm thinking about maybe how to notate this, and maybe it could be something as simple as saying ref prime instead of ref. That's something I've been thinking about. So that if you have a ref prime, it means that it is a ref from a different isolated region from the one that you're operating in. So it's kind of like a way to mark the argument as being foreign. That's one kind of syntax idea I've been thinking about. I'm not sure what the ramifications of that are, or if we need something more complex to represent more concepts. But I just kind of wanted to have a little spiel about that and see if anybody has thoughts they want to share or has been thinking about the same thing.
So personally, I think that before adding any new syntax, I think I would be interested to see what an implementation of the Paul's region-based recovery without any annotation looks like, and what use cases are and aren't covered by this. Because I feel it would already cover a lot of use cases.
Yeah, that's true. And I think you're right that we could do it as a compiler improvement that does not have a user impact other than just expanding the cases that we treat as safe. So I think you're right that we could definitely start there and then consider whether we want to move forward with adding syntax to support this other variant. Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe I just haven't been clever enough. Maybe there is a way to support the kind of separate but mutable constraints I've been working with in this library. I've tried a lot of stuff, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was just something I didn't think of. So, and maybe having this other feature with the more permissive recover would cover me already in some way that I'm not seeing right now. So, yeah, I agree. Let's start with maybe taking a look at what that implementation would look like and then move forward from there. Something I've been kind of wondering is whether it would be possible to avoid making the existing expression pass any more complicated, and if it would be possible to have this kind of tracking done in a separate pass that happens after the expression pass. It might not be possible in cases where we want to do things like deal with like treating a separate reference from a foreign isolated region as being tag instead of like basically automatically scale it down to tag instead of saying you can't access it. We might run into trouble there. But it would be nice to keep this kind of isolated, pun not intended, from the existing type system stuff.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it could be done.
Yeah, and maybe with auto recovery it's not possible. I don't know. Okay, well, it's almost the end of the call. Does anybody else have anything they want to talk about? Oh, sorry, it's not almost the end of the call. We're almost halfway through the call. So there's more time if we have more to talk about. Okay, well, thanks everyone. I think we can call it a day then.
Thanks, sir.
See you all next week.
Thank you.
Thanks.